Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
So, for those of you who know me, you'll know I dropped out of art school. And for those of you who don't know me, hi, my name is Judah, and I dropped out of art school. So, hi. when I first left high school, I was kind of confused as to where to go with my life. I was feeling like I should go to art school. I liked drawing and stuff like that. And so I thought, I'll go there. And I kind of felt like a nagging voice in the back of my head saying, well, maybe don't go there. Some people in my life were telling me to take a year off. And I was like, no, I'm not going to take a year off. I can handle it. And then I got to art school, and I very much could not handle it. I was stressed out a lot. I was struggling with whether I should be there, and if I wasn't supposed to be there, then where should I be? Who am I? Formative years coming to know who I am, and yeah, I was really struggling. And I think a lot of people are struggling with similar ideas, those questions of who am I? Why am I here? What is my purpose in life? So I am going to attempt to tackle those a little bit, giving some of my life story as I deal with some of the largest questions that humanity has ever known. So before I jump into that, we do have crosslands.live. It's sort of our online hub for Sunday morning. So you can go there on any browser, on a phone or a smart device, tablet, whatever. On there you'll find questions about the message, things to where do we go from here, questions to make it more accessible for your week. And as well, my phone number is at the top of the screen, so you can send me a text related to the message, a question, whatever, a good job or something, I don't know, to let me know. And as well, at Crosslands here, we have a sort of next steps. So no matter where you are in your faith journey, you're on a journey, you're on a series of steps, and so... this week I want to highlight baptism because we have our baptism service coming up on November 24th, which I'm super stoked about. I help lead Pulse, our youth group here, and we've been talking about baptism a lot as it's coming up, and so I'm just super excited. And like my dad said, there are some spaces left. So if you feel that call to get baptized, if you feel that call to make that step, that declaration of your faith that you're going to go all in for Jesus, please do, because we have space and we'd love to have you here. So I think one of the biggest questions that we're faced with, that who am I question, what is my identity? Who do I identify as? Where do I fit in the world? A lot of people assign that to political beliefs, especially with the election that just happened. I'm a liberal, I'm a conservative, I'm an ND person, an NDP person, whatever. A lot of people find their identity in their family. You're a father or a mother, grandfather, grandmother, or they find their identity in the fact that they're a husband or a wife in their marriage, or even for some of the younger people here, you might find your identity as student, that you're either in high school or going to college or studying. And that idea of identity is sometimes interchanged with purpose. Sometimes identity and purpose are used interchangeably, that who am I question can be what is my purpose. That ties back into school. Where did you go to school? What are you studying? Your career choices. That's a question you can get asked at like 10 years old. What do you want to be when you grow up? And it doesn't really stop until you're grown up. Your relationships, the people you choose to surround yourself with, you can find your purpose there. Whether that's raising children or being a spouse or just being... dating someone, and then kind of amongst all this and all the things society tells us, you kind of also have this idea of God's plan for me is tossed in there somewhere as well, and you want to make sure you're making the right choices. As a youth leader, I've been seeing a lot of our older youth, our Collide youth in grade 12, starting to think about where they're going to school, and that's been really speaking or weighing heavily on me as I've been seeing this and seeing these amazing youth, starting to go out and step out on their own. And just the notion of, okay, this is a big commitment. Where am I going to school? Where do I fit into the world? What am I going to be studying? What am I going to be doing for the rest of my life? Seeing my friends who are a little bit older picking career paths, you know, the question's constantly coming up, like, so what next? Where are you going to go? What are you going to do for the rest of your life? And that's a huge question. What am I going to do for the rest of my life? And so what does the Bible say about that? Well, I've been coincidentally reading Romans. That worked out pretty well, thanks God. I've been reading Romans a lot, and Romans is an interesting book because it was written by Paul to the early Roman church at a time, a very confusing time for the church. So the Jews had been exiled out of Rome. They all left Rome, leaving just the Gentiles, the non-believers at the time of the Jewish faith to start this early church. But now the Jews had come back. And so there's this big tension there of what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be in this church? Because the Gentiles didn't follow the Jewish law. The Jews come back. They say, no, you have to follow the Jewish law. And there's this big tension of, well, are you a real Christian if you don't follow the law? Are you a real Christian if you do still follow the Jewish law? And there's a lot of arguments there that Paul was dealing with as he's writing to these Romans about their identity in Christ. And so the verse I kind of settled on was Romans 6:13, and it says, do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. So it's a bit of a big verse. It's actually like really big. It kind of stands out amongst the other verses. But I really enjoy that verse. I was doing some studying on the verse. I was talking to my dad before I spoke, and he was saying, you know, you got to make sure you do the work. You got to study it so you don't get up on stage and say something that's not true. So I was reading commentaries about Romans and this verse, and I came across one where it talks about the NIV translation, and it talks about this sort of chunk of verses there. And the verse, a couple verses prior, it says, call yourself dead to sin. That's in one of those verses, and I thought, okay, I kind of like that. I've heard that before, and I read the commentary about it, and it said that chunk, call yourself dead to sin. There's an inherent repetitive process there. It's the implication that okay, you follow Jesus, you're changed by Jesus. It's not just one and done. It's a constant reminder you have to make that I'm dead to sin. That's not who I am anymore. I'm a follower of Jesus. I have to remind myself that part of my life is dead. The new part is Jesus. It's this repetitive process. You remind yourself of your identity in Christ, and your thoughts are a huge play in your actions. So as you remind yourself that you're loved by God, that you're saved by God, it influences your actions as well. The other thing that I was reading about this verse that I really liked was in the NIV translation, it says, do not let parts of your body, that just parts of your body is key there. And the commentary spoke about how that parts of your body bit doesn't just mean your physical body. It's not like don't, you know, your hands, your legs, whatever. It's the idea that every aspect of your being is given to God. Every aspect of who you are, your personality, the way you interact with people, that's all given to God. Every part of your life. And there's a willingness to that. It's not you give it to God, you know, grudgingly, like, oh, I guess, here you go. It's no, I'm saved by you. I'm willingly giving you everything. And I came up with this little phrase to help remember me that I thought, you know, sort of encapsulated everything I want to say today. It's a little awkward, and I hope that helps make it stick because it was in my brain a lot. And it's Jesus first, me second. And I feel that answers those questions of identity and purpose. Jesus first, me second. You know, we're brought to life through God's love. We're brought to life through Jesus' sacrifice. We're saved. We're loved. We're children of God. That answers our identity. And then, you know, from that, we're called to give everything to God. We're called to bring God's glory on earth. We're called to show everybody God's love. That answers our purpose. So what does this look like? I have a friend who I met in youth group, and when he started coming to youth group, he was sort of just coming for the games. He didn't really believe in any of this stuff. He was raised with a Jewish background, and he kind of just came for the games and sort of ignored the Jesus stuff. We would do worship on Friday nights and then Sunday nights when it moved, and you know, we'd be singing about Jesus, and he would sub out Jesus for Moses because he's like, oh, I'm Jewish, I'm not singing about Jesus. And it's interesting because as youth progressed, you could see God working in him. You could see Jesus start to sort of chip away at his heart there. And so one of the huge moments that I'll probably remember for the rest of my life is we were at a retreat, and he had sort of started to come around to the faith. He was singing actually at worship, and he was kind of getting into it. And we went on this youth retreat. We went away, and we spent some time with God. And while we were praying and singing, he got down on his knees, and he just was there, and I felt God telling me to pray for him, and we all sort of laid hands on him and prayed for him. He ended up speaking in tongues, and it was this really powerful thing for his faith, and I think after that, he started to identify as a Christian more and more, but his journey didn't stop there. He continued. You know, God's constantly working in your life. It's that reminder thing, reminding yourself of your identity in Christ, and you know, now he's a youth leader with me. Not too long ago, I got to tattoo him because I'm a tattoo apprentice, and I got to tattoo a cross on him. And it's so cool to see his journey from this kid who just came to youth and, you know, just showed up. And now he's living it. He's volunteering at youth. He's giving back. And I think he gets it, the Jesus first, me second thing. How can I know who I am in Christ and then give it back for Jesus? And I think that's really powerful and what has been, you know, rattling off in my brain. When we're confronted with scenarios, questions of who am I, what is my purpose, Jesus first, me second, whether that's, you know, raising our kids to aim for God's calling, you know, we're not raising our kids to just, you know, go to school, get good grades, get a good job, and then die. Like, we're calling our kids to a higher calling of being loved by God. You know, whether that's seeing a homeless man on the street, Jesus first, me second. Okay, maybe that's, you know, just having a conversation with him to the, you know, a person who is kind of not looked at a lot in society, or, you know, whether that is with your future career, is with your school paths as you're, you know, maybe in grade 12 looking at, like, where am I going to go? Where do I go from here? Jesus first, me second. Where is God calling you to make the impact? Where is God calling you to show his love? And also being aware that you might make mistakes, but it's okay because our identity is first found in Jesus, in that we are loved, in that we are saved. We're open to letting God close the door if he is going to close the door on our path in our life, and we're open to whatever he throws at us because we know that he's with us in relationships, with everything. Our identity is saved through Christ. We are saved, and our purpose is to spread the love of God. And I'm kind of going off the rails a bit, but during worship, that last song, and with everything that, you know, Ashley spoke about and Edna spoke about, I just felt like God saying, like, I'm with you, and as you go, as you're called to this purpose of following me and showing my love, it's not like I'm just sending you out on your own. I'm with you. That lyric, the roars of heaven in the last song really stuck with me, because heaven is roaring with love for you. God is roaring with love for you. And, you know, some people are sitting here thinking, like, I don't know who I am, and I know this all sounds nice, but I really don't think it affects me. I don't really know who I am. I don't really know my purpose. I know who you are. You are loved by God. You are called by God to show that love to other people. And think about how this would affect the people around us, right? Like in our church and in our community. If we live like we know our identity in Christ and our main purpose is to glorify him, what impact can we make? How many lives can we change as a church? If we're bold in our love, if we give generously like Jesus would, if we volunteer our time, if we give back to people, if we're true instruments of God's love to the people who need it most, because there are people who are ostracized by the church and have been for so long, and those are God's children too. And they need to be loved. And if we know that we are loved by God and we know that God is calling us to show that love, imagine our entire church can do that, and we can build up our community in that. You know, our lives are not our own. My identity and my entire purpose for living has been radically changed through my salvation. And it's not like it just, you know, flicked a switch and I got it. No, it's a journey. It's a step. It's a constant reminder of, okay, I'm loved by Jesus. I'm loved by God. I'm saved. How do I give that back? And, you know, I'm not a tattoo apprentice who works at Best Buy part-time. Like, that's not my identity. I'm a child of God who is saved and who is loved. That is my identity, and that is your identity. God loves each and every one of you. Your identity is not your job. It's not, you know, your circumstance. It's not what's going on in your life. It's not your relationships. Your identity is a child of God who is loved. My purpose is to show that love to others and have every part of my life bring glory to God. That's my purpose. There's a verse that was in my head in Psalms where it says, let all that I am bring glory to God. And I love that. Let all that I am, everything that is me, everything that has ever been me, I want that to bring glory to God. What an impact we could make on the people in our world if that's how we lived, knowing that Jesus is first. That is, you know, I'm second, me second, Jesus first, me second. Don't let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. Give everything to God. I know it's hard, and you know, that's why I told that story of my friend, because we go through life and we have to remind ourselves. That's why I do what I do with youth, because I was there. I see how it can impact people. I see the hurt that we're going through, and I know I say this all the time in my messages as well, you know, you're sitting there and you're thinking, that's great, but you don't know me. And I don't. I don't know everyone here, and I don't know the stuff you're going through, but God does. And God knows you. He loves you. He knows when you're frustrated. He knows, you know, when you're angry at him. You're allowed to be angry at God because he can handle it. He knows that, and he loves you. It's not about your mistakes. You're never too far away from God for him to not reach out and show you his love. And he calls you to that purpose. It's not like you're alone in this, like the last song sung. You're not thrust out into the world and God's saying, okay, go show my glory, have fun. No, he's like, I'm with you in this. Let's walk together. Let's walk through life together. And I challenge you to give it a go. Try it. Even with little things in your life, remind yourself, Jesus first, me second. How does that work? How do I do that? Jesus first, me second. I'm loved by God. How can I show that? If you're struggling with where you fit in the world, ask God to show you his love. Ask for reminders. He wants to show you his love. You're not going to annoy God by going, God, I could use some extra love. He wants to continually give you love. There's no way we can ever comprehend how much God loves you. He wants to show you. Take the time and actually let God speak to you, because that's something that I struggle with, is I pray and I talk too much. And I kind of, like, God knows. God knows what I'm going through. I spend the whole prayer going, yeah, this is what I'm going through, and this, and thanks for this, and okay, see you tomorrow. Like, it's, God wants to have that time. Sometimes you just got to be quiet and let God speak. Let him pour back into you. And if you're struggling with next steps in your life, career changes, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do next. If it feels like your family is falling apart and you don't know how to salvage it, Or you're not sure about which university or college to go to next year, pray. Ask yourself how you can glorify God and show God's love in that situation. Give every aspect of your being up to God. Everything you're going through, give it to God and ask God, okay, how do I show your love? How do I bring about your glory? We here at Crosslands, we have the ABCs. A lot of churches do it, and we always say it's the three simple steps to following God. If you're sitting there in the seats and you've heard stuff like this, or you're just first hearing about it but you want to know more, this is sort of how to get you started. And so it's simple, but it's not easy. It's the biggest choice you'll make in your life, and it's not going to be all sunshine and rainbows. I can guarantee you that, but it will be good, and it will be worth it. And so A is admit that you need help. Admit that you can't do it alone. Because I certainly can't do it alone. No one can do life on their own. When I tried, it sucked. It was the worst time of my life, thinking, I've got this. I don't need God. Admit that you need God's help. And B, believe that you have that help through Jesus, who died for you. God sent his son to die for you and pay the price for you. that's how we're able to live. And see, commit. If you make those first two steps, you admit you need help, you believe that it's through God and Jesus' death, then commit your life. Do it. Actually commit and go, okay, God, I'm gonna do it your way. I'm gonna follow you, Jesus. And that can be hard. And if that's something you want to do, you can go on to crosslands.live and there's a I want to follow God section, or you can fill it out on a pamphlet, or you can, you know, pray up here at the front after the message. And I do challenge you, if you have some questions, ask them, because we're happy to talk. Let's live our lives boldly as Christians who know who we are. We know that we're loved by God, and we know why we're here. Jesus first, me second. Phone's been blowing up. Let's see what questions I have. Okay, let's see. Oh, there's more coming in. Okay. Okay, the future is not known, but our faith and hope keep us on. As a student enjoying school, are you encouraging us, students like me and youth, to follow the path and dropping out of school is better? No. Don't do that. You can, if you feel God calling you and it's not the path that you're on, I'm saying don't ignore that. But if you don't feel God calling you away from school, just keep going the way you're going and just be open to God shutting a door. That's kind of how I've been doing it. If I don't feel God calling me to one thing specifically, I go, okay, God, this is what I want to do. But if you don't want me to do it, close the door and I'll go somewhere else and I'll figure it out. So no, don't drop out of school. Stay in school. God calls us to act out in his supernatural norm and to step out of society's norm. If acting in love and power becomes a natural reaction, we can break the shame of stepping out and being different. That's true. It's uncomfortable to do things that society wouldn't do. So talking to a homeless person, you know, stuff like this angel tree movement is really powerful, where you're showing God's love to the people that society leaves behind. And the more it happens, the more it becomes normalized, the less scary it is, and hopefully the more people do it. Great job. Really enjoyed your sermon today. Thank you. Great job. You guys are so nice. Thank you for the reminder that God is always there for us. Way to go. Good job. And then the friend I talked about said, your friend sounds like a pretty cool guy. He is. So I'm ending a little early, but I hope that's all right with you. Let's stand as we close in prayer. Father, I want to thank you that you love us. I want to thank you that you love us, that you sent Jesus to die for us, that it's not about, you know, who I think I am. It's not about who society thinks I am. It's about who you think I am. God, I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you that I can first know that I am loved by you. Before anything else, I know that I am your child. I thank you that my purpose is bigger than what I think. It's not about what job I have. It's not about, oh, I don't know if I want to do this, or I don't know if I want to go to this school. My purpose is bigger than that. It encompasses everything. It's that you want me to show your love to other people, God. I pray that you help me to be bold in that. You help me to show God's love to people. And I pray for this church that you can let these people know how much you love them. When they think that they don't know where to go, that you show them a better way, God. And I just pray for boldness in this church so we can impact our community and impact the people who need you. And I pray that as we go into our weeks, that people can start to know that and start to remember that God loves us and he has a plan for us and our purpose is greater than anything we can imagine. Our lives are not our own, but they are yours, God. And I pray that they can start to understand that, whether it's 5 years from now, 10 years from now, however long, God, I pray that eventually it clicks. And I thank you that I have this crazy opportunity to do this and speak to all these people, God. And I just pray that, you know, you can speak through me as I continue to go through my life. In your name I pray. Amen. Have a good week.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.